Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
Tweet at Miriam O'Cal. Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.
Well, Friday just gone was Daffodil Day, the national fundraising day for the Cancer Society. And for the second year running, it was a virtual event. You can still donate, by the way, to them through their website or by texting 50300 to donate €6. Well, there were so many beautiful tributes to family members affected by cancer published this week. And one of the most moving I saw came from Kieran Cunningham, who's chief sports writer for the Irish Daily Star. Kieran's piece written for Buzz.ie about his brother, Paddy. And Kieran joins me on the line now. Morning, Kieran.
Morning, Miriam. How are you?
Great. Going to chat about your Paddy in just a few moments, but I can't have the chief sports writer for the Star on and not ask you about last night's disastrous game. What's your take, Kieran?
On a human level, I feel very sorry for Stephen Kenny and the players because, you know, to borrow Seamus Coleman's words, it was shocking and humiliating and embarrassing. And, you know, there's an argument for it being the worst result ever for Ireland. And it's a legacy result. It's a result of a lot of neglect and bad decisions that have been made at high levels over the years. Stephen Kenny has inherited a very difficult situation. He's under a lot of pressure now. I do feel for him, you know. I hope, you know, people are kind to him because I wouldn't like to be in his shoes.
Fair enough. And listen, we'll have to pack away our nostalgic memories, actually, for Italia 90, USA 94, etc.
Yeah.
But speaking of nostalgia, look, in your piece for Buzz.ie, which is really beautifully written, you know, you talk about lockdown is a boom time for nostalgia, but you're not looking forward to thinking about what happened in your life 25 years ago. Tell us why.
Well, one of the reasons I wrote this piece, like a year ago when Daffodil Day couldn't go ahead because of lockdown, I just tweeted out something, "No, please support." And this year it couldn't go ahead again. And it's something I feel very strongly about because, like virtually all of us, we've all been touched by cancer. And I thought I'd do a bit more. And it was very difficult to write because normally I don't write anything that's personal. But it will be the 25th anniversary of Euro 96 in England, which was a huge deal if you lived there. And I lived in London at the time. But I lived with my brother, Paddy, and his girlfriend, Charlotte. And I watched the first couple of games, England games, with Paddy. And he died 3 days after the final. By the time England went out, he was in a coma. You know, I'm going to say I watched with him. Like he was because of the pain he was in, he was unable to sleep in a bed. He was sitting in an armchair in the living room and strapped to an oxygen tank. Like he I'd known for a few months that it was terminal. So it was a difficult time. And it's just like anything from around that time, whether it's the music, you know, all that Oasis v Blur kind of stuff that used to go around, or all the cool Britannia nostalgia stuff. It all stirs it up again for me. Like, it's not a time I look on with fond. You know, I look back on Paddy with incredible fondness and love, but not on that time. No, you couldn't, because I was 29, he was 26. But even though he was younger, I looked up to him because he was just an unusual personality. And I remember once he was driving me across London and he just said to me, you know, I don't understand how people can't be happy. I always feel happy. And that was it. And when I wrote that piece, like, I got a lot of lovely messages from people who knew him and remembered him. And all of them mentioned his smile, because he had this incredible smile. Like, he was a good looking fella. And he just had this smile that lit up a room.
And I'm conscious, like, he was only 26. You know, I know children die of cancer, but 26, yeah. It's like his life was robbed from him. And I'm conscious your parents, Francie and Cal, are still alive and their loss is still great. But it wasn't just you and the people who loved your brother who cried. Tell me also, like, the nurses who minded him were so impacted as well.
Yeah, because I remember that. Because I was actually out of the room when he passed away, because we were in there for a couple of days in the hospital. We knew it was coming. And I went out for a cigarette, even though I hadn't smoked in years. I just said to a friend, you know, can I have a cigarette? And when I came back in, you know, people were coming out in tears and I knew it had happened. So after a while, I just went for a walk around the hospital and I turned the corner. And a couple of the nurses I'd recognized from visiting Paddy when he was in over the years, they were just bawling in the corridor. And you'd think, no, this was a cancer ward. Like, this, they have to deal with loss all the time. But it just really struck me, like, you know, people, you know, in the time of COVID as well, like, people don't realize what health workers go through. You know, we just think, you know, they're great and they do their job, but they're dealing with such difficult situations and watching people in great pain and relatives in great pain and losing people they love. And it does impact on them. You know, it does. Mm. It really has an effect. I know these are people that aren't paid, you know, massive wages. You know, they work incredibly hard hours. And it's something that always, I'd love to know their names. I'd love to remember them. I'd love to write to them now, you know, but unfortunately, I never got them.
And also, there's that lovely story you wrote in the piece, Kieran, about your brother loved boxing news and the news agent. Tell me that.
Yeah, but he always, you know, he had a great passion for growing up. Like Paddy left school at 16. He went into, like, we're from Glencullum Kill, southwest Donegal. He went into a factory, a knitting machine jumpers for a couple of years, which would be a trade around there. And then he moved to England and he was working in building sites. But he went back to college then when he got ill. And he was doing really well, but he had to pull out. But he had this passion for boxing growing up all the time. And because I was working as a journalist, I said, you know the sport, you're a smart guy, and I think you can write. You know, I could get you a little bit of work starting off. And he threw himself into it. Like, he did interviews, he went to events, he covered them, and he got more and more work. And, like, it's amazing what comes into your head, because there's all this stuff to organise. Like, we had a mass in hand while we were living, and then we brought his remains home for a funeral in Donegal, etc. You're trying to organise everything, you know, pack his stuff away, etc. But it just came into my head. He subscribes to Boxing News, the magazine, and he had a subscription. So I went down to the news agent in Hanwell, and it was a Pakistani guy and his son. They were lovely people, and I told him, and they were so upset. You know, they just were just in shock. And then a couple of years later, this is really strange, because about 5 years ago, ITV ran a documentary on a famous fight between Gerald McClellan and Nigel Benn. Gerald McClellan nearly died, and it was a very tragic fight, and he was left with permanent brain injuries. But at one stage, between the rounds, the camera pans to the crowd, and it just focuses on Paddy. And, like, I was just watching it, you know, I had something to watch one evening, and it just—he was still. Wow. I just couldn't believe it. Like, it's such a freakish occurrence. You know?
That's amazing that you could see him there, and also, like, he was so positive, Paddy, wasn't he? And is it true you can't listen to the Irish Rover by the Pogues and the Dubliners? It always reminds you of him.
Yeah, because he loved singing. Like, he was passionate about Luke Kelly and the Dubliners, and he loved the Pogues. And Madness was a big thing with him as well. Like, one of the nights I remember, probably the last night I ever had with him, was we went to the Mean Fiddler in Harleston, a few of us, and he wasn't able to drink, obviously, with his illness, but he had a lot of morphine at the time, and he was getting some kind of morphine out of a buzz of the morphine. So he was dancing all night. Like, so it was a reminder of the way, you know, the energy he used to have. But a friend of his, Miley, we call him as a nickname, but Hugh Byrne would be his name. But the two of them would be two great sidekicks. And you go to these, you know, it might be Shanty Dam in the Mean Fiddler, or Folksy Jerry was a guy who played in Donegal, but they would go up and ask him to play, sing the Irish Rover. Miley would do the Ronnie Drew part, and Paddy would do the Shane McGowan part, and particularly the line at the S where he goes, "Ah, the last of the Irish Rover." He loved barking that out, so he got a buzz out of that.
Do you think you changed, as we close this interview, Kieran? Do you think that experience of losing your brother so young, and I'm conscious of people listening this morning, Kieran, because of Daffodil Day, who have lost people young and old, did it change you forever?
Yeah, no, undoubtedly. In all sorts of ways. Like, you know, it's a cliche to say it gives you perspective, but it does change the way you look at the world, because you don't take things for granted. I was interested, you know, I don't want to make this in any way by myself, but I listened to Siobhan Parkinson. We had a stillbirth, myself and my wife Peggy, 13 years ago, and we named our little boy Paddy after Paddy. Oh. You know, and I'm very conscious that everybody deals with it. Like, I'm 54. If you're 54 and you don't have sad stories in your life, you're very, very lucky. Like, everybody has them, but it does change. Like, you just, you know, we all get down. It's all hard, and it's been a hard year. But, you know, I give thanks for what I have. Like, I know the family I have. I'd love to see the family Paddy would have had and the life he would have had. You know, the two Paddies, you know, because, you know, it's it's cruel, but you know, life is cruel, but there's a lot of joy and beauty in it. And he realized that, you know, Paddy did, and he had a great outlook in life. Like when he told me he wasn't going to make it, you know, I took it harder than him in a way. Like he was saying, you know, I just go quiet and change the subject. But he was just, you know, we have to get on with it, you know, and that's, it wasn't a bad outlook.
Well, look, Kieran, thanks so much for chatting to me about Paddy. People should read your piece, buzz.ie. It's beautiful. And if anyone wants to, you know, donate, they can go to cancer.ie, find ways to donate, and text 50300 to donate 6 years to the Irish Cancer Society. As you said, your brother Paddy was a really happy guy. He loved madness. We are going to go out now listening to One Step Beyond. I'd like to dedicate it to all of you, to you and to your little baby Paddy as well, and to your brother Paddy, and to your parents, Francie and Cal.